Have you printed out the free coloring sheet for this lesson? You can download and print it at the link in our show notes. And you can access full lesson activity guides, bonus videos, nature devotions, and our themed Bible and nature scavenger hunts in the Nat Theo Club. When you join, you receive new resources every week and access to all our back content. Dive deeper into God's creation and the Bible in the Nat Theo Club at erinlynham.com/club or at the link in our show notes.
Hello world, wake me up to another good morning, time to go.
Are you ready to explore God's wild and wonderful world? Welcome to the Nat Theo Podcast. I'm your host, Erin Lynham. I'm a certified master naturalist, Bible teacher, and author, and I am so excited to dive into God's written word, the Bible, and his created world with you. Have you ever walked through a natural area full of wildflowers? Maybe it was through the woods, or through a meadow, or along a river. Did you smell the sweet smells from the flowers? Or did they look like a bright carpet of blooms? What did it make you feel? God cares a whole lot about wildflowers. And wildflowers can remind us just how much God cares about us. We are discovering both of these truths today as we dive deep into God's design of wildflowers. Here is our trail map.
Are you ready?
We are going to discover, why did God make wildflowers? How does God clothe wildflowers? How does God paint wildflowers? What is a wildflower's perfume? And how do wildflowers remind us to not be afraid? This special lesson is a little longer than usual because for the last stop on our trail map, we are going to welcome on award-winning author and artist Ruth Cho Simons. So settle in and get ready to discover God's purpose and care for wildflowers. Before we hit the trail, let's thank our sponsors who made this lesson possible, including Generations Curriculum. Today, we're diving into God's designs in wildflowers. One of the best resources that helped me see God's design in flowers is the God Made Plants book by Generations Ministries. You can save 15% on the God Made Plants book and your entire order at generations.org using the code NATTHEO, that's one word. The God Made Science series is one of my very favorites as its rich and beautiful visuals help me understand big ideas in science while leaving me in awe of our Creator God. The God Made series is perfect for grades 1 to 6 or for anyone wanting to understand God's amazing designs in nature. Save 15% on your entire order at generations.org using the code NATTHEO, that's one word. When I took a wildflower class in the Rocky Mountains, we learned how to count flower petals and leaves to identify wildflowers. Numbers, shapes, and patterns in nature help us understand God's wild and wonderful world. And CTC Math is our family's go-to resource for learning math skills we use in nature. CTC Math's online math lessons help my kids through simple video lessons that they can pause, replay, and progress through at their own pace. CTC Math has helped take the frustration out of our math lessons and given us a clear path forward for success and confidence in math skills. Try CTC Math for kindergarten through 12th grade for free at ctcmath.com. It's time for our trivia question. Which wildflower was once used by Native Americans as a medicine for colds and is still found in herbal teas today? A. Echinacea or coneflowers, B. Blue bonnet, C. Indian paintbrush, or D. Columbine. Again, which wildflower was once used by Native Americans as a medicine for colds and is still found in herbal teas today? A. Echinacea, B. Blue bonnet, C. Indian paintbrush, or D, columbine? Take a guess and we will find out at the end of today's lesson. And NatTheo Club members, make sure after this lesson to click over to the bonus video where I'm going to take you on a bit of a wildflower nature hike out in the Rocky Mountains. You can find that bonus video in your NatTheo Club dashboard or at the link in our show notes. Listeners, if you want to dive deeper, you can join the NatTheo Club and gain instant access to our full library of content and new activity guides, bonus videos, and nature devotions every week. You can join at the link in our show notes. All right, let's hit the trail. Why do you think God created wildflowers? For one, they are beautiful, and God definitely cares about beauty. Philippians 4:8 tells us, "Brothers and sisters, think about the things that are good and worthy of praise. Think about the things that are true and honorable and right and pure and beautiful and respected." God tells us to focus on everything beautiful because true beauty comes from God. And when we look at that beauty, it causes our hearts to worship and think about God. So I believe that beauty is a great reason for God to make wildflowers. But his purpose for wildflowers goes much deeper than that. Wildflowers feed many, many creatures, including the cute little pika that we learned about on Lesson 91 that picks bouquets of wildflowers up on the tundra mountaintops. Animals that graze also eat lots of flowers and grasses. And of course, insects, birds, and bats gather the sweet nectar that they need from flowers. Creatures that eat the sweet nectar are called pollinators. A pollinator is a creature that helps spread pollen, which helps plants to grow. This is a very smart system that God designed in nature. Creatures such as bees, butterflies, and hummingbirds land on a flower or hover near it to get at the sweet nectar juice inside that they eat. When they do this, there's a powdery stuff on the flower called pollen that rubs off of the flower and sticks to the creature. Kind of like if you've ever baked cookies in the kitchen and ended up with powdery white flour all over your clothes. When the creature that was collecting the nectar and now has pollen stuck to it moves on to another flower of the same type, the pollen from the first flower can rub or fall off onto the second flower, which then helps that flower make a seed. So the flower helps the creature get food that it needs, and the creature helps the flower spread pollen so more wildflowers can grow. This is an amazing design that God set up back at creation. Listen to Genesis 1:11. As I read it, I want you to count how many times you hear the word seed or seeds. Are you ready? Then God said, "Let the earth produce plants, some to make grain for seeds and others to make fruits with seeds in them. Every seed will produce more of its own kind of plant." And it happened. How many times did you hear that word seed or seeds? It was mentioned 3 times. God designed plants, like wildflowers, with seeds inside of them to grow more plants. And in order for a seed to grow, pollen must be spread by pollinators. God set it up just right so Earth can be full of beautiful, helpful wildflowers. And helpful they are. Humans throughout history have used different kinds of wildflowers for many different purposes, including for food, medicine, crafts, and for making helpful objects. So God designed wildflowers with important jobs to do, and he also designed them just right to do those important jobs. In Luke 12:27, we read about God clothing wildflowers, and we can think about that in the different ways that he designed them. Listen closely. "Consider how the lilies grow. They don't work or make clothes for themselves. But I tell you that even Solomon, with his riches, was not dressed as beautifully as one of these flowers." Does this mean that God actually dresses up the flowers in beautiful gowns or maybe a tuxedo and a bow tie? Of course not. It means that God designed flowers just right to look beautiful and to have everything that they need so that they can reproduce and make more flowers. So let's look closely at some specific ways that God clothed or designed the flowers. First of all, he wrapped some of them in what might be called a flower sweater and scarf. I see this when my family ventures up to the Alpine tundra, where it's cold for most of the year and very windy. Even in the summer, when flowers do grow up on the tundra, they have to be built very tough to endure the harsh conditions. Many flowers in these difficult places are covered in tiny little hairs called trichomes. Trichomes are small hairs or outgrowths on a plant that help protect it. So trichomes, like little hairs, act kind of like a sweater, protecting a wildflower from getting too cold. Trichomes also help wildflowers hold in moisture and not dry out. And they also can kind of act like a sunscreen, protecting the flower from the harsh sunlight and hot temperatures. So God designed trichomes to protect many types of plants, including wildflowers in different areas all over the world. And he clothed other wildflowers with wax. Some wildflower plants have a waxy material called a cuticle covering their leaves. Let me ask you this. Have you ever seen a plant with shiny leaves? That is thanks to this waxy protective cuticle layer. The waxy layer helps a plant hold water in so it doesn't lose too much water, and it protects it from harsh UV rays from the sun. So whether it's a fuzzy trichome sweater and scarf or a shiny waxy cuticle coat, God clothed wildflowers just right so that they can stay protected and go about their work of feeding many creatures and growing more flowers. God also clothed wildflowers in many different colors, even some colors that we humans cannot see. Different colors help attract certain pollinators. Just as you might have a favorite color, so do many of the pollinating creatures. Maybe not because they just like the look of that color, but because they can see it very well, so it helps them find flowers and sweet nectar. For example, bees cannot see the color red, so they might pass right over a red flower, but they can see blue and purple very well. They can also see a color that we call bee purple, which is a combination of yellow and ultraviolet light that is invisible to humans. The yellow marsh marigold is a perfect example of the bee purple color. I have found this wildflower several times while hiking way up in the mountains here in Colorado, and it only looks yellow to my eyes, but bees see it differently. They see the flower as yellow, but also with another color, that bee purple ultraviolet color mixed in so that they can find this flower very easily and collect its nectar. You might have heard that hummingbirds like the color red, and this is true. They can see red very well, so they are drawn to wildflowers that God has clothed in the color red. Some flowers are white, which makes them very easy to see in the dark when the moonlight is shining on them at night. So often bats and moths, which are active at night, will collect nectar from white flowers that they can see. Some flowers God even painted special designs on. Have you ever seen a wildflower with maybe different colored spots or speckles or stripes on it? Those are called nectar guides. And just as it sounds, they guide pollinators to the nectar deep inside the flower. They're kind of like a sign or a banner that announces, hey, that sweet nectar that you're looking for, it's right inside here. Come collect it. And while you're at it, why not pick up some pollen and spread it around? God designed these wildflowers with nectar guides with a special way of encouraging pollinators to stop by and visit. I don't know if you've ever worn perfume, but flowers certainly do. And they don't wear perfume for the same reasons that humans might, just to smell nice. Instead, their perfume has very special purposes. God clothed many flowers with specific smells, kind of like perfume, to help attract pollinators. You see, just as certain pollinators have a favorite color, they also have favorite smells that help them to find the flowers that they need. But what makes a flower's perfume? The beautiful petals on a flower have special tiny cells on them called osmophores. Those special osmophore cells release something called volatile organic compounds, or we can call them VOCs. The VOCs are different mixtures of organic chemicals that lift up into the air very easily. This makes it easy for the scent, kind of like perfume, to sort of waft around the flower so pollinators can smell it and stop over to collect nectar. Here is a quick look at some pollinators and their favorite flower perfumes. Bees love sweet, mild scents, and butterflies prefer a stronger, sweet, or even fruity smell. What about moths? Moths like strong or even musky smells that help them find flowers during the night. So maybe more like a man's musky cologne than a woman's sweet or floral perfume. So God clothed wildflowers in exactly the way they need to be clothed. Some of them with those fuzzy trichome hairs, others with waxy leaves, and all of them with purposeful colors and even patterns, and with the right perfume to attract pollinators. You know, when we think about God clothing the wildflowers just right to keep them safe and help them to fulfill His purposes, we are reminded that God gives us everything we need to keep us safe and to do the work that He has called us to. Knowing this can help us be less afraid or anxious. Do you know what that word anxious means? Anxious means feeling worried, nervous, or uneasy about something that might happen. Because this world is broken by sin, we can sometimes, or even often, feel afraid or anxious. But God wants us to live free from fear and anxiety. And His wildflowers remind us that we can trust Him for everything that we need. We saw that God designed wildflowers with everything they need to live, thrive, and produce more wildflowers. But how does this remind us that God cares for us and that we don't have to be afraid? Joining us to help answer that question is award-winning author and artist Ruth Cho Simons. Ruth writes and illustrates beautiful devotionals that share the truth of God's word and the beauty of His creation. And guess what? Today, her brand new book about wildflowers releases, and we get to celebrate her book launch and hear how wildflowers have grown her faith. Ruth will also be joining us again tomorrow on a special episode to share how wildflowers inspire her work as an author and artist. Let's welcome on Ruth Cho Simons. Ruth, thank you so much for joining us on Nat Theo, and happy book launch day.
Well, thank you so much. It's so fun to be here.
I have so enjoyed reading your new book, The Way of the Wildflower. It's beautifully written, and your painting is just magnificent all throughout the book. In fact, the publisher sent it to me, and it was in the digital format. And I'm so excited to get my hands on a physical copy, but it was so beautiful. I printed out the entire thing, and that's how I read it, because I couldn't like not be holding it. It's just so gorgeous. I love how you focus on the details of God's wildflowers and how they show us His love and truth. In the lesson so far, we've been focusing on the detailed ways that God clothes the wildflowers, creating them and caring for them. And I'm so eager to hear you share how they remind us to not be afraid. So in your book, you share the beautiful words of 1 Peter 5:6-7, which say, "Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, so that at the proper time He may exalt you, casting all your anxieties on Him, because he cares for you. And you wrote, quote, because he cares for you. The implications of these five little words compel us to unclench our fist and cast our anxieties on him. I love that image of unclenching our fist. So Ruth, how can wildflowers remind us to cast our fears on God?
You know, I live in Western Colorado, so every summer we have fields and mountainsides full of wildflowers. But wherever you live, if you live in the city, if you live in the suburbs, if you just spend a little time outside, you can see a dandelion growing up. If that's a wildflower, you see little tiny, tiny ones growing up in the cracks of sidewalks. You'll be amazed at how many wildflowers you notice if you just pay attention. So there's wildflowers all around us. But when I see a wildflower out in the wild, and especially as I go enjoy them in the summertime, I realize that wildflowers grow in places that you don't even expect flowers to be able to survive in. Wildflowers grow beautifully, and nobody was out there seeding them. It's not like somebody said, let me plant a flower here and here and here and here. It's God's work in doing that. Mm-hmm. They're wildflowers because they're wild. And so I think one of my favorite lessons that I've learned is just recognizing that our Creator God is caring for each of these flowers. Every flower you see on the side of the road, as you're on a road trip, you'll notice sunflowers growing up or poppies, and you're like, okay, how are these flowers growing? Well, God gives them the nourishment they need, the rainfall that they need to be sustained. They bloom in the season that God assigns for them. Everything about their lives, are not because they are working really hard or trying really hard or getting everything just right. It's because they rely on God to care for them, which I think is why, you know, you read the First Peter passage, but one of the most poignant passages is when Jesus is teaching in the Sermon on the Mount. And in Luke, that version, Luke 12, he's starting to talk about, you know, do not worry, don't be anxious. Who of you can, you know, add an hour to your life by worrying? That's verse 25. But by verse 27, he says, consider the wildflowers. He's basically like, look over there, look at those flowers. They don't toil or spin. And that's just another way of saying they don't fret or freak out and run around in circles going, oh my goodness, what am I going to do with my life? Or, you know, the things that make us scared. I don't know about you and anyone else listening, but sometimes the things that kind of make us feel anxious or make us, our hearts beat faster or make our stomachs turn, things like, am I going to have any friends? Or am I going to do okay on this test? Or, what if I'm not good enough? What if I can't do this? What if I'm an embarrassment? Listen, I will have turned 50 years old the moment at this time this recording goes, but I still struggle with all those fears of whether I'm going to do a good job or whether or not people are going to like me or whether or not, I have what it takes for this big dream or this thing I want to do. And Jesus' words is reminding us to look at the flowers that grow up in the wild and say, look at how they're taken care of by their Heavenly Father. How much more does he love you? And it's going to take care of you, which is why Peter can say in 1 Peter, cast all your anxieties and fears, all the things that kind of keep you up at night, cast them on him because he cares for you. That's the actual remedy. The remedy is to remember that God loves you and cares for you more than you could care for yourself.
That's such a good reminder, especially that we don't grow out of fear and we don't just muscle through it. Like, we can deal with different fears when we're younger and when we're older. I know that's been true in my life. And yet you said the wildflowers are wild, and yet God is taking care of them. And how much more does he care for us? What a beautiful reminder. Ruth, can you share a specific time when maybe you were dealing with fear or anxiety and God used wildflowers to remind you of his love?
I can't even begin to tell you how many times I've gone and walked a path of wildflowers, whether it's dealing with stress in something as a mom, and I have something going on with my child that I can't fix. For example, a year ago, one of my boys had a really bad mountain biking accident. He went over the handlebars. For anyone who's listening who might mountain bike, you sometimes go on a big steep slope and you do a jump, and he landed wrong and landed on his head and caused severe injury to his spine and required a spinal fusion all up and down his spine. And as a mama, there was nothing I could do to besides pray and just ask the Lord for healing and for restoration. But I felt so helpless. And even then, even during that season, seeing a wildflower growing up in really rocky areas was a reminder that sometimes the conditions are really harsh, but God sees them and knows even how, what the conditions and the strain and the difficulty it is for this wildflower to grow there. And even then, God is taking care and providing for everything they need. So sometimes when things happen that you just wish didn't go that way, I've known different seasons like that. And every single time, if I turn my eyes, and I think your heart is aligned with mine in this, as we look to God's creation, that when we start looking at how he orchestrates the stars, the moon, the flowers, how he brings the seasons in and out, how he makes sure that everything he's created is cared for. When I take the time to observe that, I just realize, I can rest and not be so scared that everything is up to me to fix.
Yeah, that's beautiful. Thank you for sharing. Would you be able to share a word of wisdom with perhaps a listener who is struggling with fear or anxiety?
You know, first of all, to anyone who's listening who's struggling with fear and anxiety, first of all, know that it is really normal to have feelings like that. That if we didn't struggle with that, then we wouldn't see all through scripture a call to lay our anxieties down or to trust God. Or, you know, we wouldn't see over and over again God saying to the Israelites, "Fear not, for I am with you." That's like literally the words he said to his people. "Fear not. I know it's kind of scary what I'm calling you to do. Fear not. I'm with you." His answer every single time to our fear or our anxiety always is, look to God. Trust in God. Let him go with you. Remember that you're not alone. But then also, if you remember some of the wonderful reminders throughout the New Testament, it's to rehearse truth. It's to actually replace anxious thoughts with truthful thoughts. And so I call that preaching to my own heart. And so my encouragement to you, if you struggle with anxious thoughts, take one thought captive, as the Apostle Paul tells us, right? Take every thought captive. Start with one today. Maybe your one anxious and fearful thought is, "Nobody likes me." How many times have we all felt that? We say it in a superlative. We go, "Oh my goodness, nobody likes me. I have no friends." But it's pretty normal to feel that way sometimes, whether it's on the internet or in person at school or at soccer practice. Take that thought and say, okay, but let's talk about what is really true. First of all, you could count up and be grateful with how many friends you do have. But the truth is, even if you're struggling in friendships, even if you feel alone, even if you do feel abandoned, or you're in a new city and you don't have friends yet, remember what God promises. He promises to never leave you or forsake you. He promises to be that friend, that close, that helper, that one who goes with you everywhere. And so then you can replace that thought with, okay, I can lay down the anxious thought of, "I am alone," or "I have no friends," to remembering, "Hey, I'm a child of God. I belong with him. He never leaves me or forsakes me. And so today I can walk with confidence because I am not alone. And my best friend, my truest friend, is the Lord Jesus Christ." You see how it doesn't mean that we're suddenly free of ever being afraid, but that one thought can be replaced with a true thought, and you can walk in confidence in at least one thought today and start building up to replacing each fearful thought with the truth of God's word.
That is so powerful. Taking captive every thought one by one. And I love that idea of preaching to ourselves and just those reminders coming, those promises that we get from scripture, which are you brought so many of them to light in your new book. And then also we see in scripture that nature declares the promises of God. So thank you so much for reminding us today, encouraging us today that we can be reminded to fear not, because God's word says we don't need to fear, and his creation, his beautiful wildflowers, also remind us. Ruth, I'm so excited to have you back on tomorrow to hear how God has used wildflowers to inspire your work as an author and an artist. Thank you for joining us today.
Thanks for having me.
Listeners, I hope you were inspired by what Ruth shared. She reminded us that as we go out and explore God's wild and wonderful world and see and smell his beautiful wildflowers, that they should remind us that we don't need to be afraid. Yes, fear and anxiety are a real thing that we struggle with on a broken world. But God, he wants us to live free from fear and anxiety, and he will help us step by step to take every thought captive and to replace lies and fear with his truth and promises. It's time now to answer a question from one of our listeners. Here is today's question.
My name is Audrey. I am 9 years old and I live in Texas. My question is, why do chicks have to work so hard to get out of their eggs?
That is a great question, Audrey. Why do chicks have to work so hard to get out of their shells? An eggshell is designed to carefully protect the little chick growing inside of it. While that little chick is tucked safely inside, it develops from just a yolk and egg white into having a beak, feathers, legs, and wings. Think about this. If eggshells were too thin, the chicks would hatch too early. As the chick grows, it takes in calcium from the shell to make its bones stronger. This makes the shell slowly thinner and easier to break when the time is right. In order to hatch, the chick grows a special tool called an egg tooth on the tip of its beak. This hard, sharp point is perfect for poking holes in the shell. Using its strong neck, the chick works hard to chip away at the shell, a little at a time, until it can break free. This struggle that the chick goes through, it's actually very important. It helps the chick grow strength and energy so that it can stand and walk soon after hatching. God designed a growing chick and its eggshell just right, so that when the time is right, the chick has what it needs to hatch strong. Thanks for your great question, Audrey. Stay curious about God's wild and wonderful world. And Nat Theo Club members, remember after this lesson to click over to the bonus video where I will take you on a bit of a wildflower hike through the Rocky Mountains. Find that bonus video in the show notes or in your Nat Theo Club dashboard. Also, listeners, make sure tomorrow to tune in to our special bonus episode with Ruth Cho Simons, when she is going to be sharing with us how wildflowers can inspire our work and art. It's time now to answer our trivia question. Which wildflower was once used by Native Americans as a medicine for colds and is still found in herbal teas today? A. Echinacea or coneflowers, B. Blue bonnet, C. Indian paintbrush, or D. columbine. The answer is A. Echinacea. I often drink echinacea tea when I feel a cold coming on. Now it's your turn to explore. Go find some wildflowers. You might find some still growing depending on where you live, but it also might be a little late in the season. However, you can still find them. Look for dried stems with dried seed heads on the top. Can you see where the seeds were? Or are there still seeds on the plant? Many wildflowers might be dormant, kind of like sleeping and waiting to wake up next spring and grow more flowers. All a part of God's wonderful wildflower design. Thank you so much for listening. If you enjoyed this lesson on wildflowers, please take a moment to send it to a friend and subscribe, rate, and review Nat Theo wherever you listen. Also, make sure to click over in our show notes and pick up a copy of Ruth Cho Simons' new book, The Way of the Wildflower. Until next time, keep exploring God's wild and wonderful world.
We are all loved.